book I read that when you come to an assembly of many people, it is sinful to greet people individually or separately. So, okay, one general Hare Krishna to all of you together. Hare Krishna. Because I started, I see somebody, Hare Krishna. Which, you know, if we offered complete obeisances would certainly be very good physical exercise, very good for health. You know that the Gosamis in Vrindavan, like Raghunath Das Gosami is famous for offering 3,000 prostrated dandavats every day to Vaishnavas. And all the Gosamis, they were doing 1,000 obeisances to the deities and 1,000 to devotees. I think the world record in push-ups is 5,000, right? Correct? Something like 5,000. So, you just go try 3,000 full obeisances. Congratulations to our newlywed and to all of us being present here. Hare Krishna. Let us all wish all the best of the best good fortune to Gopal and Primisha. Yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So a few days ago, Rukrama Prabhu said, it's your turn to give the Sunday class. Okay, my turn, my turn. He says, you are talking about wedding. That's easy. I can, being a monk, I can say any damn thing, right? Nobody can. Nobody. It's not that I come home and they'll say, you rascal. I'm joking. So, yes, actually, wedding and marriage is a happy thing. There is one guy who has systematized all kinds of stories. Every imaginable story he compiled into 7 main plots, 7 basic plots, stories. So the first one is the most frequent topic of every movie, everything, is overcoming a monster. Hare Krishna. Every time you see James Bond with his Walter PPQ, no, not PPQ, older, old Walter, six bullets against the whole army, and he's winning. And it's catching our attention, because we know, yes, it definitely happens in life all the time. Maybe not exactly like this, but something similar. We are having to fight some monsters and overcome daily, if not hourly. Then from rags to riches, also always catching our attention, yes. I will not go into telling you all the 7 plots, but one of the plots is called comedy, and the author doesn't mean it in the sense of something funny, but in the sense of something happy. He says it's a complete story. Comedy is usually the most complete story, which includes all the other stories. And comedy is something that is reaching the best happy end of marriage and wedding. Hare Krishna. So, congratulations. We are now participating in the successful comedy plot. In a good sense. So you have to read the book to understand. So usually there is some misunderstanding, some character development, discovery, that, oh, this is not actually a mechanic from a garage, it's a prince, in fact. Oh, she's not just a poor girl, she's a very good girl. And, oh, you know, so many discoveries which come on the way and many obstacles. There is usually some dark, dark witch and dark, dark somebody, and you have to win. Visible and invisible powers are there. So, and then there is a happy wedding. And if you read Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami, you will be surprised to find that every single characteristic of a perfect, ideal, archetypal comedy structure is there. Also, Krishna cannot recognize Satyabhama. She cannot recognize Krishna. Yet they don't want to meet because he says, I want to meet Radharani. He doesn't know she's Radharani. She says, I don't want to meet that king. I only want Krishna. She doesn't know he is Krishna. And then he sees how she worships the deity of Krishna. And he sees, wow, she is actually worshipping Krishna with love, but this is my deity. So he takes the place of the deity, and then she comes and she can't understand why she feels so excited. And it's a big, you must read Lalita Madhava. Even though I remember in Harikesh zone, it was forbidden. It was forbidden to read any books other than Prabhupada's books. But then he said, well, this book you can read. Okay. If you remember. He said, okay, Lalita Madhava, okay, it's okay, you can read. Because it explains and gives a perfect meeting of Radha and Krishna. It's a very esoteric story, but very beautiful story. And then it ends in a wonderful wedding of Krishna and Radharani in Dwaraka, who comes as Satyabhama, and all the other queens of Krishna. The astrologers were selecting the ideal time for the marriage, and they said, oh, sorry, in the next 20 years there is only 1 minute that's good. So we don't know what to do. So one, yes, but 16,000 we cannot, obviously impossible. Krishna says, why impossible? We can do 16,108 at the same time, no problem. And all of them expanded. He expanded into 16,000 Krishnas and his parents also. Do we have Bhagavad Dharma Prabhu here? Yeah. Yes. Hare Krishna. Sounds like a good trick, right? If you're part of Krishna Lila, you can be here and there, as many places as you need, doing all the services. Hare Krishna. So, that was, this is Lalita Madhava, and then it ends in a, and this attracted Narada Muni to come and check Krishna's pastimes. And it is also amazing how Narada sees Krishna's pastimes in Dwaraka. But wedding itself is an interesting topic. So some of us, I'm sure in this room we have plenty of introverts who feel a little suspicious of big crowds and weddings. It's a little uncomfortable, you know, to be in such a big group of people. Why do you have to come in such a big group of people, you know? Many people have small weddings, just two in somewhere, you know. Maybe four sometimes, yes? Because why? And in the Vedic culture you have eight kinds of marriages. And the simplest marriage is exchanging the garlands. Just exchanging the garlands, maybe fire from a brahminical, from a Brahman's house to sanctify. And, you know, it is also simple. And I remember once I was visiting my parents, and I happened to be in the bus with my neighbor. My neighbor, older man, he's the father of my schoolmate, girl, and I hadn't been in my home place, I hadn't been for 2 years. I was in Sweden in the BBT translating. I was returning after a long time. So I was asking, how is life? How is everything? He said, oh, my daughter married. Oh, nice, very good. And then he said, and you know, it was 1992 or 3, and life was not easy at that time. And he said, and you know, she wanted a big wedding. And I didn't have money. And then I said, daughter, do you really want a big wedding? He said, father, you had a big wedding. I also want a big wedding. So he said, I had to work really hard. But we did. We organized a big wedding. So we had 400 people coming, or 200, I forgot how many he said. So a big wedding. And so she was happy. She was happy that there was a big wedding. But, you know, some of us think, why do you need a big wedding? You know, 200 people. Sometimes it's not so difficult if you are Hare Krishna. Getting 200 people, you can get. But for some people, it's, you know, who to invite, how to invite, and everything, and how to organize food. It's a big production, you know, such a big production to organize something for 100 or 200 people. Devotees, we do it weekly, you know. Our life, whole life is a comedy, right? So it's okay, we can do this. And then recently I was listening to a philosophical podcast, and there was some psychologist coming up next on the next episode, and he was saying, why do we need big weddings? Oh, I have to listen, you know. I want to know, why do we need big weddings? So he explains. He is a psychologist. He is an anthropologist. We have many Hare Krishna anthropologists. Just today in the morning I was researching something I heard in the class, and one article from a devotee friend anthropologist came up, John Fahey, maybe some of you know, a photographer, and anyway, it's a separate story, long story. So he was describing his life in Mayapur, how he talked to in Mayapur was telling, we are not devotees, we are aspiring devotees, but you are a devotee. You're coming to the temple, you're chanting Hare Krishna, so you're a devotee. And then he said, so you're, no, we are not devotees. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm chanting 32 rounds, but not good rounds, and I'm struggling, and so on. So he's trying to understand this phenomenon. So anthropologists like to study human life and development. So he said that one of the biggest problems of modernity is humans no longer have initiations. So we don't know who we are. Am I a boy or am I a man? Am I a grown man, or am I, you know, like this joke that in a boy's life only the first 45 years are the most difficult? It's no longer funny. Right? Yeah, yesterday I read that 60 is the new 30. Metabolically speaking, how your body can still digest food well until 60, well into 60 years of age. Anyway, so we don't have initiations. We don't have initiations. So that psychologist were saying that this is one initiation in the modern life that is still remaining, to mark very clearly, you were one thing, now you are a different thing. You were a boy, now you are a man. You were a girl, now you are a woman. So it plays an important role. And this is why you may have a big wedding, big celebration, big festival, and it is significant. It plays a positive, important role. So, of course, we know religiously, we read, there are these samskaras. So, do you know that men have 10 samskaras, women have 12? He says women have more samskaras than men. Anyway, so some scholars of Dharma Shastra say that the first samskara in human life, the first initiation in human life, the first ritual in human life is marriage of your parents. Yes, that's the first one. And then we have 10, ending also in marriage. So Garbhadhana, it's a sacred begetting of new life. Then Pumsavana, some biogenetic modification of the child's future to give him special or her special blessings. Pumsavana. Simantonayana, also something connected. It's putting some red vermilion in the hair. So there are these two are usually done before the birth for a pregnant lady, and for the it is done before the child is born. I mean, these three, four, marriage, Garbhadhana, Pumsavana, four before birth are done. Then Jata Karma or Jata Karana. So this we had recently. Many of you were there up north in Deche Sel. How was it called? This near Slovenske Konice. What's Dražavas? Yeah, Dražavas. Okay, Draža is connected with Draž, sweetness. Yeah. Good. So that was Jata Karma, and so. Jata Karma, probably Jata Karma plus Namakarana. So that's done to at birth. You can read that in Srimad Bhagavatam, how Parikshit Maharaj, the whole life was predicted. So astrologers may say something, they will say what's the best name. So that's Jata Karma and Namakarana, giving the name. Then here's one for the ladies, Nishkramana, coming out of the birth chambers. You're in your house. You're supposed to have a house for just living for the mother and the child. Then Annaprashana, the first grains. Then Chudakarana. That's usually for earrings. And for men also, and cutting the hair. And then there are some others connected with this beginning of education. Then Upanayana, this is initiation. Keshanta, that's for also. I don't know this one. Keshanta. Any specialists? Samavartana, returning home from education. Samavartana, that's graduation, right? And Vivaha, the next marriage. The next marriage. So, you can see that in a developed, cultured, healthy society, you will have many initiations, many samskaras, which will mark the life and will help to mark some psychological moments and help also, not all only mark, there will also be different learning experiences. Samskara in general means not just a ritual, it literally means an impression. So these will be some very special positive impressions which will produce blessings for the future. It will produce blessings for the future. Good blessings. So the child may not remember everything even, but even those childhood samskaras, they will keep producing some good blessings. So that's the idea of that of this samskara. Of course, Srila Prabhupada. So the Pakka Brahmana is supposed to have performed all 10 samskaras. Then he can be, Prabhupada writes somewhere, he can be called Ayur. And if he performs 5 more, he is Iyengar. I read it just today. Yeah. And if I forgot all the numbers. They are different. Devotees also. We have 5 samskaras when we take initiation into the devotional into bhakti devotional service. We have 5 five steps and five initiations. So these initiations, all the psychologists nowadays are complaining that the world is missing it. The world is missing it. We don't have initiations to form the character, to direct us, and to help us see the transitions, see the steps. So therefore, you know, if you walk and you don't see the steps, we end up with a smashed nose sometimes, or it's not very pleasant. So, in the Vedic society, you have everything very clearly described, and I read also today Prabhupada is saying that it is practically impossible nowadays to perform all 10. It's very difficult. We are trying. So all 10, I think devotees perform many, and maybe Gopal, you are actually. Does he have all 10? Did you count?
I don't believe so.
So no worries. That's why when they do the funeral, they do them some express. They do some express version of all 10, you know, just in case. Someone's missed or something. So Prabhupada says it's practically impossible, but that's why we have Vaishnava initiations, and this is why in the 8th canto, Shukracharya tells Vamanadev, Mantratas tantatras tantratas chidram desha kalarta vasuta. If there has been some defect in mantra, either missing or improperly chanted, or in a procedure, some procedures not precisely properly done, or desha kalarta in the place, in the ingredients, sarvam karoti nishchidram anusankirtanam tava, everything is made impeccable, faultless, free from every defect by chanting your holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we have everything, we have everything. We have the procedure, and if procedure is not perfectly followed, okay, we have the remedy how to fix everything, yes? With the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, Prabhupada speaks about this yagya also in the Bhagavad Gita, Hare Krishna. So, actually, I'm thinking, dear scholars, I see. Yes. Jai Shri Panjatattva Shri Shri Gurnitai. Which verse do you think would be a fitting verse from the Gita for a discussion of wedding? I can even give you an extra hint. Prabhupada actually speaks about Vivaha Yagya in the purport. He even says that even a monk should conduct this wedding yagya for others. It's a pop quiz. So you can just think logically. Yes. You have many scholars here. I have full faith in you. So where in the Gita can we find something about sacrifice? Huh? Sacrifice in different modes. It's close. It's just a few verses close to that place. Sacrifice in different modes. Yes, actually. Yes. And renunciation. close. There you have, yes. Exactly, yes, thank you. I knew. Yes, this is chapter 18, verse 5. Yagyadana tapa karma. Not, let's chant all together. Yagyadana tapa karma. Yagyadana tapa karma. Natyajyam karyam evatat. Natyajyam karyam evatat. Yagyodanam tapaschaiva. Yagyodanam tapaschaiva. Pavanani manishinam. Pavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance. Tapa, that means austerity. Penance, it's already a lost word. Nobody knows what it means. Penance, we no longer understand. Austerity also, most people don't understand, but devotees still know what's austerity. What is austerity? You can say austerity. Are not to be given up. Are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and austerity purify even the great souls. So, if I am a small soul, I need it to become bigger, so a bigger soul. And if you are a big soul, then it's still good, even for a big soul. How do we measure the size of your soul? It's a separate discussion. It's a good but separate discussion. But Krishna says for everybody, for big and small, it's good. It's good for all. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says, the yogis should, and we are all yogis, by the way, if you didn't know, we are all yogis. We are bhakti yogis. Yeah? We are trying to do devotional service in the Slavic languages. The English God comes from huta, Sanskrit huta. Linguists trace it to the Sanskrit huta, the one who is invoked, one who is called. We call God, come, come, oh God. Yes. And the Slavic bog is connected with the Sanskrit bhag, bhag. Bhaga means a share. So, bogat, bog, ubog, ubogati, and so they are interrelated etymologically through this root bhag, a share. And bhakti, it's interesting. Yesterday we had a birthday of some Ukrainian philologist, so he discusses these things. So just, I remember this, but he didn't discuss bhakti. But bhakti has the same root, bhag. So to share with your happiness with Krishna, to share your happiness with Krishna. And if you don't, what to do if you don't have happiness? Yes. and then Krishna will share with you. So bhakti. So we are all bhakti yogis. So Prabhupada says, the yogis should perform acts for the advancement of human society. Okay? Clear? There are many purificatory processes for advancing a human being to spiritual life. Okay, so far so good. And then Prabhupada says, the marriage ceremony, for example, Hare Krishna, is considered to be one of these sacrifices. It is called Vivaha Yagya. Should a sannyasi, Prabhupada was a sannyasi who was performing this marriage ceremonies. In fact, some of his first initiations were combined with marriage ceremonies. The very first two initiations were combined with marriage ceremonies. So, Mukunda Maharaj and Janakya, who else was married at those? Maybe, I don't remember exactly all the participants of those first initiations. So, Prabhupada says, for most men, this Vivaha Yagya, marriage, should be encouraged even by persons in the renounced order of life. All prescribed sacrifices are meant for achieving the Supreme Lord. Clear? So this is an important sacrifice. It's an important samskara. It's an important initiation. We read in almost every shastra about weddings of different devotees. We read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Especially attractive description is given about his marriage to Vishnupriya. How when he returned from East Bengal, he went to East Bengal to earn money, Hare Krishna, with his teaching grammar. Then he came back, and somehow or other it so happened that Lakshmi Priya, his, what do you call this, young age sweetheart, she, the girl with whom they had some mutual attraction from the early years, she left this world. So they are all, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an ordinary being. They are also not ordinary girls. They are Shaktis of the Lord. But the story goes on to describe how Kashinath offered to arrange a marriage for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Vishnupriya, who was the daughter of a Raja Pandit Vallabha. He was a very learned Brahmana. So somehow Shachimata was not sure, but then she understood that no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interested. And then Kashinath was happy, and Vallabha was happy, and then one very rich neighbor, Budhimanta Khan, came and he said, "I will not allow this to be an ordinary marriage. It should be a marriage worthy of Indra. I will sponsor everything." And there it was going on for several days, and there were so many garlands, and there were so many gifts. There were so many nice gifts that the brahmanas were coming and secretly taking three gifts. More than one. I find it funny. I think it sounds really, really funny. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed, because it was such a big gathering, there were so many, and there were so many brahmanas that, you know, who could see how many times he came? So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You know what? Please make sure that you give everybody three gifts. Three times." And then all the brahmanas felt, oh. And they were happy with three gifts. They didn't ask for the fourth one. Three was perfectly enough. And they took three gifts, or the gifts three times. And it says that there were so many flowers, so many garlands, so much sandalwood paste, just accidentally falling on the ground, that it would be enough to arrange for a few more marriages. Just whatever was left. And then this was one day. Then the other day, there was again wonderful prasadam, a lot of prasadam. And then at the auspicious moment, the brahmana said, "Okay, it's time for Nimai Pandit to start on the way to Vallabha's house." And they started moving. It took 1 hour to move from the house of of Nimai Pandit to the house of Vallabha, the Raja Pandit Vallabha at that time. So then they looked like, it says, they tried to compare them to Lakshmi Narayana, to Shachi and Indra, but no comparison could be made. And anybody who saw this marriage, and even anybody who hears this marriage, will be a happy devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. So, that's it. You are you're blessed. Now, by hearing and remembering the marriage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya. So, best wishes. Please, everybody, offer your blessings. Gopi Purandana Prabhu was saying that, you can see here, Srila Prabhupada says that, I will read again, that the yogis should perform acts for the advancement of human society. So, this is our desire, advancement of human society in every good way. I also think it's beautiful that it's already, so I know the parents, at least of one side. I don't think the other side I know. Maybe in Vrindavan I met your parents, I don't know. And as wonderful devotees, and now the children, who are also wonderful devotees, are moving into the next stage of devotional human life, and it is a very happy occasion. It's a very happy story. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says that, yes, in Goloka Vrindavan we will have also ISKCON. So one day we'll be sitting, eating, drinking coconuts and eating mangoes, and we'll be asking, do you remember Ljubljana 2021? Gopal's wedding and Premisha's wedding. Yes, I remember. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any comments? Any additional blessings? Any corrections? Any doubts? Any points? Yes? Yes? So far? Who has? One, I see one. Probably have Avadhut Roy and as a reserve questioner. Because I'm sure that there's plenty of people online, so they also want to hear.
I have a question about samskaras being something that is an impression. Do we actually call a samskara only those ceremonies that are described? Or is it correct to call samskaras the things that we remember, though it can be something not amongst the points that are mentioned in Holy Scriptures? Like, I don't know, somebody saving you from something and opening a new perspective for you, like, or you meeting your Vartman Pradakshika Guru. All of that can be a samskara. So are we, and we tend to call it that, can we call such occasions in our lives and honor such situations in our lives as samskaras? Or that's kind of, you know, heretic.
Oh, heresy. Okay, what are you celebrating? Let me check in the list. Ah, not in the list. You heretic. No. Samskara itself has many meanings. The word samskara has many, many meanings. One of the meanings, as you mentioned, is an impression in the mind or some things in the memory, and there are plenty of these samskaras. So they are discussed in all the Yoga Shastra. So in the Yoga Sutra, Patanjali, for example, says that if you have high-order samskaras, sattvic, like samskaras connected with goodness and dharmic or spiritual life, then these goodness samskaras act as powerful agents that will purify the low-order samskaras, and they will accumulate. And yes, so we have this verse. I get this question sometimes. Why does it say in the Shastra that even a moment of association with devotees can give such a powerful blessing? Is better than even going to heaven? Just one moment, but there are cases. Somebody just saw. I know one story about the airport. About the airport, how Tamal Krishna Maharaj was going on the Rolltreppen, the elevator, and somebody was going down, and he was in dhoti, saffron dhoti, and the guy looked, and he was flabbergasted. Well, who is that? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj looked at him and he said, chant Hare Krishna and become a devotee, worship him. And he became a devotee, actually. So this was just, you know, a few moments, and it worked. It worked. Actually, today I heard a book completely, I'm sorry, not connected to Krishna consciousness, by a nice person in a good mood. It's not, I mean, a little higher modes. And some question about religion came up, and the guy said, yes, just like in the Chicago airport, there are these Hare Krishnas. These Hare Krishnas are chanting with so much and doing all kinds of things with so much enthusiasm. So I remember, this is Prahlada Maharaj, who was, they spent so many years in the Chicago airport distributing books and chanting and doing all this service. And we haven't been there since decades, but people still remember this, and they put it in other books in other places. Yeah, these Hare Krishnas in the Chicago airport. They chant Hare Krishna with so much enthusiasm. This is, and they discuss this way and that way. So, or another devotee, he saw Prabhupada's picture for a second, and then it created such an impression that when he saw a book he bought, he became a devotee. Another met a book distributor and he read one line from the book and said no and went. And then he flew to another continent, I think from New York to London or something, and then another book distributor approached him on the street and he told him exactly what was there in that line. So he said, okay guys, I'll buy it. You seem to be very well coordinated. So these few seconds, or 1 second, yes, they can create this very powerful positive. It's not even goodness, it's transcendence. It's a transcendental goodness. And we can certainly celebrate them and try to create more and more of such moments, more and more of such moments for others. So I'm trying to come up with a new line or a new expression, new phrase. The first version was that humans are machines to convert suffering into happiness. But I think better would be to digest bad things and create joy for others. Because suffering is the normal condition of the material world. Suffering, darkness, obstacles, it's a normal state of the material world. But a human being is somebody who can take something bad and turn it into something at least tolerable, and if not and better, something good. Yes? And let me read it again. The yogis should perform acts for the advancement of human society, right? So some unpleasant stuff will come, obviously, can't avoid it. But if you face it head on and try to do something good, then it turns, then suffering becomes a voluntary religious tapasya. spiritual austerity. Yes, religious austerity. It becomes the wealth of a brahmana. It becomes the wealth of a brahmana. And marriage is the institute for human life, for helping each other, helping others in tolerating life and trying to not to create too much austerity from our own side, you know, so it's not so difficult to tolerate. It's enough to tolerate, yeah. Prabhupada said, there's enough suffering in life. You don't have to create extra austerity outside of what you encounter in your life ordinarily. And try to create spiritual joy that will help us, at least some people, but ideally the whole human society, to advance in every way. Feel the responsibility? Hare Krishna. But also, you know, it's for everybody else. Thanks for coming. It's very nice that you're coming here. You've already had the wedding in the manor, right? I've watched Rukram Prabhu showed me some some live streaming. Very nice. You plan to do another wedding in some other country also? Or two is enough? Okay. Yes, that's good. So thank you, but also for everybody else. Yeah, so normally, until recently, all life was village life, and the whole village was helping. It was helping usually, even in a town or in a city. There is an American expression, barn raise. Barn raise. Anyone from America here? Barn raise? Barn construction? It's when you say, I need a barn. You know what's a barn? Just wait. I. Kozelts? Kozlots? Kozolts? Kozolts. Kozolts, yes. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. You say, I need a barn. And then village comes, and in one day they make it. I've seen it in my childhood. My father said, I need a garage. Okay, barn, you know, now in the city, not so practical, but garage, yes. So I saw just the neighbors, guys came, and in the morning they started, and in the evening garage was ready. You know, they put bricks on top, and okay, the roof was remaining to put the cement on top. But otherwise, in one day, you have the full garage ready. In the evening, they just have a few laughs. Okay, they were in terms of drinking liquids, it was not completely Krishna conscious, maybe. And a little singing, a little eating, a little liquids drinking, and then that was it. So that's human communal life, of helping each other. For you, it costs nothing. It's a few hours of your time, right? It's not so hard. But then if you need to raise a barn or to build a garage, then you say, oh, I need a barn, a garage. And they come to you and help. So that's community. Then, of course, now life is much more separated. But we are building the global village. Now we are living in a global village. So the whole world is very interconnected. So when Gopal needs a barn, don't forget to come help. Okay? Maybe even I will come carry three bricks. Or, if not, give blessings. Hare Krishna. At least. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.